Okay, thank you. So it is after four, actually, on August 12th, 2020. So I'm going to go ahead and start this council meeting, and I will begin with roll call. We'll start with our elite, the one who's with us this one last time, and that is Councilwoman Cornegay.
Present.
Councilwoman Kinzer. Okay. Councilman Couch.
Here.
All right. Councilman McGoffin.
Present.
Councilman Owen?
Yes.
Councilman Allen?
Present.
And Councilman DeYoung?
Present.
Okay. So I am looking for now an approval of the agenda.
Madam Mayor, I move to approve the agenda, Councilman Couch.
Okay.
Councilman McGoffin, second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Councilman Couch, seconded by Councilman McGoffin. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? If not, we will move on to the consent agenda. Yes.
Excuse me. I'd like to move consent agenda 1 through 4, and I would like to talk about number 4 if passed.
If passed?
If the consent agenda is passed, then I'd like to talk about number 4, please.
All right. So we have a motion by Councilman DeYoung. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. So I have a second by Councilwoman Cornegay. Any discussion?
Madam. Madam,
all in favor? Well, you said if passed, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So, Councilman DeYoung.
Item number 4, interlocal agreement with Skagit County for improvements to Northern State Cemetery. I've had multiple visits up to the cemetery recently, and I'm just trying to get the understanding of the changes there, that we will be reducing parking there by adding more landscaping on, if you will, the northern state side, putting up a fence, a controlled gate along the county road and into the triangular county property. My question is, who is maintaining the grave sites? Because it seems as though that, it is that those grave markers have become covered and hard to locate grave markers. Is that the city's responsibility, Department of Enterprise Services of Washington, the port's responsibility? I'm trying to get a handle on that so we can get those markers to be observed. Thank you.
Yeah. So we do mow up there right now, and it is, Brenda, do you want to comment? Brenda's not here. So right. Brenda and her team usually go in, and they are the ones who are maintaining the graves right now, as far as uncovering them, they're recording them. And she would probably be the one who could answer that better, but we are mowing up there on a regular basis. And it is challenging, as you probably have heard from other council meetings, that the grass, it's mucky. The grass gets very, very wet, and it's challenging to mow up there. So we are doing the best that we can at this point.
Great, because I have participated in the past with Councilmember Kinzer to reveal those markers, and I would like to see that effort be sustainable. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So before we go on to staff reports, we have a council member who is actually leaving us. Last night I had the honor of swearing her in as the PUD board member, commissioner. She is now a commissioner, Commissioner Cornegay. And so I don't know, Bill, if you have the opportunity to put my screen back up for just a minute so others can see it, but I wanted to show the plaque that we actually had done for Jermaine. And Jermaine, it says, in recognition of outstanding service, Jermaine Cornegay, Councilwoman, Ward 2, City of Sejour-Woolley, January 2014 through August 2020. So 6 years you've been serving. In grateful appreciation for your outstanding leadership, dedication, and commitment to excellence these past 8 years on City Council and as Acting Mayor Pro Tem in 2018, your love and compassion for our city has impacted the community and made it a better place to live. Thank you for going above and beyond and serving the citizens of Sejour-Woolley, Mayor Julia Johnson. So, Jermaine, I wish you were here so that we could give you a hug and hand this to you. I'll make sure that you do get this. Would you like to make any comments, Commissioner Commissioner Cornegay?
It has been an honor serving with all of you, and the staff have been amazing. I'd like to thank all of you for everything, and I guess I'm looking forward to the new position at the PUD, but I'm also always going to be here. So excellent. I just wanted to tell you all that. I mean, I'm always going to be here. I'm always going to be involved. So I really appreciate everything that you guys have done, and I really appreciate you, Mayor Johnson, and thank you so much for swearing me in yesterday.
It was my honor. Thank you. And you are going to be missed on council, but I do look forward to having conversations with you, because I know that that will continue, especially as you work forward with the PUD.
All right. Thank you.
So thank you for your service and really all you do for the community. Thank you, Jermaine.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, so we will move on to staff reports, and I will begin with Chief Klinger.
Good afternoon. Hey, I just wanted to report that the mayor, Frank, and I met with the new director, DEM, and I am going to butcher this name, unfortunately, Bob DeLonkey. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. It's a interesting name. But we sat down, we discussed kind of what our expectations are for DEM, what his expectations are for this from the city, and we're working on trying to come to an agreement and kind of get that all in writing. We have an agreement with DEM, but it's a little bit old, and we'll try and get it updated to where it's an actual usable document. Once we get that, that will come back to you, the council, to take a look at, and you guys will be able to comment, and we'll have it in written format as to what we're going to be getting from DEM and what they're going to be wanting from us. So you'll get a chance to comment on it and give your input. Does anybody have any questions about, I'm going to call him Bob. It's easy. Other than that, Mayor, our COVID numbers seem to be staying about even. One day you go down, and next day you go up. So it's yeah. One step forward, two steps back, then you go three steps forward. So we're just staying about par for the course. We don't seem to be getting any better. So I'm not sure how much longer we're going to be in this phase.
Yeah, it may be a long dance, huh?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes very discouraging. Yeah, so thank you. Thank you, Chief, for sharing that. Okay, Chief Tucker.
Right, I got a few things here. Some of you may have noticed the broke down train that occupied Highway 20 at the Skagit Motel. That one came from a local repair yard, and it was headed for Colorado. It made the first 2 miles of its, 1,400-mile trip and broke down. The trailer buckled or something, and they spent a few days getting it out of there. And then once it got out of town, we were just hoping it got out of the city limits, and we didn't get to see it again. But a good crew came in and worked on that, but it was blocking part of the roadway for a better part of 4 days. We had exactly the same time that this broke down, we had a report of a suspicious death at the Skagit Motel, and probably an OD. And we've been seeing some, we haven't seen the actual new, I guess, fentanyl pills hitting town yet. But there was another fentanyl fake pill thing going in other counties that we're probably going to be seeing in the near future. And this could have been that. We haven't found out yet. There was no ID on the person, and their room had been cleaned out by whoever was there with them doing whatever it was they were doing. But Detective Hannah Walt has since found out who that is and is doing some follow-up on it. Nothing other than an overdose is what we're looking at, but it's just another one more drain on limited resources that we got right now. We had a robbery attempt at North Cascades Food Mart right at the edge of town going east out of town last night. Apparently, the clerk decided she did not want to be robbed, asked the next customer to come in to beat up the robber. That didn't quite happen because the robber bugged out and ran away, which I think is kind of a good community policing thing going on. They took care of things and we're following up so we can figure out who this guy was. The county came out and brought their drone to do some infrared viewing of the area, but we didn't locate the subject last night. We're still following up on that. And I'm going to bug out here in about half an hour. We've got training up at the Northern State Grounds tonight. And last but not least, Lieutenant Dan and I are swapping vacations. He's on vacation this week. And I'm going to be starting my vacation on the 20th after he gets back. So we're here and there. And hopefully I can get him to come in for city council on the 26th. But otherwise, I will be in Stehekin spending the night with my bride. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Director of Building and Planning, John Coleman.
All right, so sorry, I was expecting Mark to go ahead of me. I didn't have my finger on the mute button. We've been working on the street dining regulations, and we came up with a temporary permit to allow sidewalk cafes and parklets in the dining areas downtown. We've seen one application be completed at the Magnolia Cafe in the I was on a walk today at lunch. They have their platforms out there, and then they're getting ready to have seating there. Hopefully, they'll have that ready in the next day or so. I think that's about all I have. We've been extremely busy with applications for land use applications. They're really active right now. And then I, of course, have more agenda items for the council tonight. We've been working on those things as well.
Okay, thank you, John. So Director of Public Works, Mark Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, council members. Thank you for awarding the electrical project tonight on the consent calendar. We'll get that one awarded and out for planning. That work won't happen probably until the end of the year, first of next year, due to the acquisition of the new electrical equipment. We were glad to move that project forward. Also at the plant, Fisher Construction has been doing our digester aeration system upgrades. They started last Monday. Our crew has been working closely with them to make sure to clean the tanks out and to transfer the materials from one to the other. They did finish digester one last week, started the other one on Monday, or Tuesday actually. Our crew was cleaning Monday and should finish on Friday, and that project will be done. We're already seeing some improvements in the aeration results there, so that's a promising development on that. The SR20 West Lane widening, I'm sure anybody's driven through there has seen that the lane widening itself, the asphalt's been cut and the base has been placed. They have installed the extension of the 48-inch storm pipe out to Brickyard Creek. They've left it just a little short, waiting for a fish blockage device that goes on the end of that to keep the fish from swimming up the pipe. And they're in the process of putting in the new creek crossing for the behavioral health campus there. So all that work's going pretty well. Jamison overlay is also underway. The contractors completed all the new ramps, and they've been working this week on getting the pavement repairs done in preparation for the grinding, which is supposed to happen on Monday next week, and then the paving on Tuesday and Wednesday. Contractors having a few issues coordinating the grinding and the pavement fabric material and all the rest of that. They might be delayed a few days, but that's the schedule I had as of this afternoon anyway. Just to announce for the full council, we finally did get a signed agreement back from the Department of Transportation for the BNSF undercrossing project. And now we're in the process of working with BNSF to get their contract in place and get them on the design work. With the delays in getting this contract done, the work's not going to happen this year. Probably be designed and material acquisition before the end of the year, and then actual construction of the undercrossing by BNSF in the spring. Finishing by the middle of June is what we're predicting right now. So that's pretty much everything I have. I will have on your council agenda for the 9th of September, the first read for the sewer comp plan, and hopefully action following on the 23rd. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Always so much going on. Thank you. Director of Finance, Jill Scott.
Thank you, Mayor, and good afternoon, Council. We've been continuing to be very busy in finance. Probably the biggest announcement is the budget call letter just went out today with emails to the department heads and people that are going to be preparing the budget. This year, as you know, we will be doing a biennial budget, so that will be new for all of us, including even how to use the financial system. So those emails, as I mentioned, went out today with all the documents, and I have been working with BIAS just to figure out what that looks like. And so if anyone has any questions, I will be here, but I've been working closely with Doug. The other thing is working with Bill Chambers on getting our financial system to be hosted, basically cloud hosted as opposed to local, and maybe he can talk about that a little bit. Otherwise, we are just plugging along here.
All right, thank you, Jill. Director of IT, Bill Chambers.
Well, the council chambers, phase one of the AV upgrade should be done in about 2 weeks. That's when they're saying that the cameras should be in. So that's good. Working on some issues with the DocuWare document management system in planning for an upgrade and for training on that, staff training. The fiber franchise agreement is ready for first read. That's on the agenda for tonight. And Jill said, assisting with the technical side of moving BIAS from locally hosted to the cloud. Glenn's been working a lot on IT property inventory, kind of getting us up to date and ready for the auditors. And we got our new firewall in, so I'll be working on the firewall upgrade. Lots of exciting stuff in IT.
I got to tell you, I greatly appreciate you with all the problems that I tend to have with it. So thank you, Bill.
Thanks to Glenn. I'm glad Glenn was able to pop in and help.
Me too. Yeah. Okay. And City Attorney, Nikki Thomas.
Well, as per usual, I don't have a lot to add. I do a lot of work behind the scenes supporting staff with reviewing contracts and helping get projects moving forward from a contract perspective. I did have the opportunity to work with John quite a bit on moving the parklets temporary process forward. And I'm really excited about that. I think that COVID has offered a unique opportunity to see how things can be done in a different way. I think it's cool to see other communities doing similar things. I know Leavenworth has actually had a lot of success with sort of shutting down the streets and pulling people out into the streets. It's created sort of a different dynamic, and it's kind of exciting to see it happening in Cedro too. So beyond that, I don't have anything to add.
Yeah. You are a big asset, Nikki. We do appreciate you. And I apologize. I called you Thomas. It's Thompson. My apologies.
That's okay. So,
yeah. And then I would at this point be calling on Doug, but Doug is taking some needed time. So he'll be gone the rest of the week. And got to say, I'm pretty envious of that. But he does work hard here. He's, oh my gosh, he works some very long hours getting things done. COVID's really added another layer that I can't even begin to describe to any of you what that's like, but he's doing a great job. So let's see, we will move on to council reports. I will start with, I'll start with you, Jermaine. Maybe Jermaine's not on. Jermaine, if you're on, you need to turn your mic off, on, if you're on.
Mayor, she's showing as on, but I think she might have stepped away for a minute.
Okay, I'll come back to her. And then I'll move on to Councilman Couch.
Madam Mayor, nothing to report at this time.
Oh, okay. All right, Councilman McGoffin.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to give a special shout out to Councilwoman Cornegay and congrats to moving on to the next position. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Owen.
Yeah, I just want to put a gold star in the code lady's hat. She finally, she got some action next door to me and it looked 100% better. So,
good.
If you see her, you personally thank her.
I will. I see her every day that I'm here. All right. I will do that. Anything else?
No, I'm done.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Allen. Okay. And Councilman DeYoung, and I have to say, Carl, so you're using the same backdrop that I've been using for a couple months in other meetings and Rotary meetings and whatnot, so I happen to really like that backdrop.
Right. So, thank you. It's been quite a pleasant few weeks here in Ward 6, people out and about taking care of their yards and people doing things with their family. It was fantastic to be up at Northern State the other day with the Central Skagit County Library and Skagit Parks with lots of families walking around. They put up some interpretive signs and some activities dealing with the QWERTY codes, which kind of looks like that Rorschach test box that people can take their smartphones to and help interpret what those little sites were about. So it was nice to see families together doing their physical distancing and still being to go outside and enjoy nature. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of that happen down at in the future at Riverfront Park, of course. And we have, let's see, my screen went blank on me here. Oh, a note here from Nathan about the Puget Sound Corps with the Department of Natural Resources being able to come down and take care of some invasive species removal. And they're looking to do that, let's see, Thursday, August 20th. So glad to see some progress moving there. And I'm looking forward to future progress of the replacement of native plantings there. And even during the time of COVID, applying for those grants with nonprofits and other non-government organizations that even if we're not able to get them in the ground, we still have places like next to our public works area and the sewer plant to watch those plants grow and get a little hardier before we put them in the ground. So a good project. Glad we talked about it in the budget cycle last year. Then talked a little bit last meeting about some input from and feedback from the Central Business District folks about the petunias and other things growing out of the street. Glad to have put in my own sweat equity on the 27th there of July, and with my little picker-upper, and did some weeding out there. And then it was awesome to have the crew come out. I believe it was a subsequent day on 4 a.m. to get out there and really spruce it up. So Central Business District looking better with some sprucing up. And that is what I have to report from Ward 6. Thank you.
So I'll go back to you, Councilman Cornegay. Is there anything you'd like to report?
I wanted to say I just can't wait to get rid of this iPad. I wasn't stepping away. I was just trying to get back. I've been going back and forth to the packet, and then I can't get back onto the screen so easily. So I just couldn't. Anyways, all I wanted to say was I actually talked to Nathan a little bit ago, and about the parks and having multiple benches for people to sit at. When I go to the dog park, I notice that people kind of hover around. You know, you can tell they usually, I remember people just wanting to sit at the bench, but there's only one bench. So I think at some of the parks, since we have to practice social distancing, they only have one bench. You know, sometimes there'll be at least a half dozen people at the park, and then they can't, like, maybe just scatter some seats here and there. And he said that there were, since the other parks don't need theirs anymore, then they could, some parks could use them more than others, I guess, is what I want to say. So I guess to make it official, to just kind of request that we have more seating for people at the parks spaced out. And that's all I have to report, but thank you.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. I noticed that too at the dog park, that there is just one, it's a picnic table. And of course it's under a covering, and that's where people want to congregate. You're right. So it is challenging. Mm-hmm. So great suggestion. Okay.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
I wanted to say one thing that we, now that we have Jermaine back, I just wanted to thank Jermaine personally for, you know, the 6 years of service that you've given to our ward, and we'll be missing you greatly. And hopefully we can find someone that can attempt to fill your shoes. So Jermaine, thank you, and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Councilmember Couch. I'm pretty sure that you will. Thank you. I have faith.
So I will say along those lines, thank you, Councilman Couch. I will say along those lines, we are taking applications, and we will be taking them until the 14th, this Friday, and it closes at 4:30. So just putting that information out there. It's also on our website. On behalf of the city, I sent this out actually to the council. So nice of you to read it, Councilman DeYoung. It is a thank you to Nathan and his volunteers who did graciously rise at 4 a.m. to do the weeds and the cleans in the downtown area. It does look great. They not only did Metcalf, they also did the side streets. So it looked fantastic. And so actually when I called him personally to thank him, he said, I was to be sure, because I did not know this, but I do now, that I was to be sure to thank Glenn Allen for all the continued dedication that he takes to wind the clock. So that beautiful clock that's downtown on Metcalf. Thank you, Glenn. That's fantastic. I had no idea that it needed to be wound. I thought perhaps it was just an electric clock, but it's not. And it's much appreciated, because it's actually a part of our history, and it's it adds a lot of character to our downtown area. So thank you, Glenn, for taking the time to do that, being so loyal to that. Now, did Glenn Allen Jewelry purchase that, or was that something that you just took on? Well, I can.
Maybe he can nod.
Well, it says here he's trying to connect, but it doesn't look like he can. Okay. So also, I wanted to mention that we are going to be starting our work sessions. And the first one's going to be, I think it's September 2nd. It's the first Wednesday in September. It's going to be at 4 o'clock. and we will start the budget conversation. So I'm glad that Jill Scott mentioned that she has sent out the packets, because we are going to have the opportunity to start discussing what the projects are and what the budget looks like. And it's going to be an interesting year because, we're going to have to make some real guesses, I guess, is the best way to put it, as far as what the budget is going to look like. So just kind of a forewarning about that. I know usually the first Wednesday of September, we meet with the Planning Commission. I do understand that. But we are just going to bump that up to October. So I believe that that is October 7th. We will meet with our first work session with the Planning Commission will be that first Wednesday in October at 4 o'clock. Just kind of a reminder that Rick Lemley, who was a council member, is retiring actually from Lemley Chapel. And on the 14th, Friday the 14th is Friday, there's going to be a drive-by goodbye party. I think you can also pull in if you want to. It sounds like there's going to be some refreshments either in the parking lot or maybe even around the building. So I'm kind of going through here and seeing if that's all I have. I think it is. Okay. All right. So we will move on. Last week, before we move on to old business, last week, while we were actually in session, there was a letter that came in from Valerie Smith of the Commerce Department. And she had requested that we read in the public hearing a letter that she had submitted. Well, we had already moved through all of that. So as per our attorney, who said this really does need to be done, I'm going to read her letter into the record, and then we'll move on to John, who will be discussing the ADU fees in old business. So this says, Dear Mayor Johnson, thank you for submitting the draft ADU sewer and impact fee proposal to Washington State Department of Commerce Growth Management Services, which we received on July 6, 2020, and processed. Additionally, congratulations on taking the first steps to include the accessory dwelling units, ADUs, as infill housing options within the comprehensive plan and subsequent approval of the city's first ADU development regulation, which we received on the 24th of June. These actions indicate that the city's dedication to providing more affordable housing options and encouraging infill development, both supported by the Growth Management Act, is much needed. We recognize the substantial investment of time, energy, and resources of these documents represent what they represent, and we congratulate you for completing the objective. Commerce is recommending that you waive the ADU impact fees as best practice for furthering the goal of the Growth Management Act. Please consider the following recommendations during your final legislative action regarding impact fees. Affordable housing best practice, having shown that one of the easiest ways to promote ADU development in urban areas and break down barriers to development is to waive impact fees for the infill ADUs with the urban areas. A house with an ADU is likely to have similar impacts to a very large house, with the added advantage of providing a separate dwelling unit that can be used for affordable housing and help homeowners pay their mortgage. The benefits of the ADUs are reasons that the city should take action and encourage them. As noted in the staff report provided by City Planning Department, many communities are moving towards reducing fees and, if at all possible, waiving fees completely within the urban areas. The proposed fee schedule includes reduced fees for the new ADUs, and while this is a step in the right direction, Commerce recommends waiving impact fees for infill ADUs. Congratulations to you and your Planning Commission, your staff, and all the citizens involved for the good work of these actions. If you have any questions, please feel free to give me a call. Valerie lists her number here. She says, we extend our continued support to Cedar Woolley in achieving the goals of growth management. Sincerely, Valerie Smith, Senior Planning of the Growth Management Services, Washington State Department of Commerce. So that is her letter. And with that, John, that is your cue. I'm going to ask you to begin.
All right, so I'll resume our conversation about fees for accessory dwelling units. And if any of you have interest in that letter, it is, of course, included in the packet with the ADU fee discussion material. There's not a lot that's changed since the last time this is that we've discussed this. This is the third read that we've had on this. I did, it occurred to Mark Freiberger and I that we should probably be sure to address special connection fees for sewers. So we addressed that in there in the new code. So in addition to all of the rest of the code as proposed, or that hasn't changed over the past several weeks, we added a line saying that special connection fees would not apply to accessory dwelling units. And the reason we did that is when those special connection fee areas were designed, so the way it worked is there's a project that needed to be done, the city paid for it, and then divided the number of lots into and the number of units that could be on those lots into the project cost. And that came up with that. That's how we determined the special connection fee for that geographic area. And ADUs were never envisioned in those calculations. So ADUs, we didn't see should be paying into that because the fees were already calculated on something on math that was done without the ADUs. If you have any questions on that, I can attempt to explain further, but that is in a nutshell the only change that has been presented since the last meet of this.
Either pull it or cap it.
So I can address any questions. I think we've presented this enough that I'd just be using up time unnecessarily if I were to explain this all to the council again, but I'm happy to address any issues that you might want me to address.
Okay. All right, so are there any questions for John at this time?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman DeYoung.
Yes, so thank you, Madam Mayor. Director Coleman, I am looking at the methodology here, and it says that you pulled that 61% number and 30% number from Clackamas County. Is that Clackamas County in Oregon, like Oregon City and Lake Oswego?
No, I thought that was a Washington one, but now you're making me second guess myself.
Wow.
I thought it was Washington. Mark, do you know that answer?
I'll look it up. I think it is Washington, but I'll look it up right now.
I guess that is Oregon.
Yes. Having, yeah.
It was provided to staff by our sewer, by our consultants that methodology with other jurisdictions.
All right. Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions or comments?
Madam Mayor.
I'm sorry, yes?
I would, Councilman Couch.
Councilman Couch, thank you.
I would move that we table this third reading until we can get a correct answer and maybe check to see what the numbers would be for Washington State.
Well, it is Clackamas County in Oregon, and it's all based on the ITE manual, the International Transportation Engineer Manual. So those figures are the same from state to state. Is there an internet, their national numbers that the IT manual uses?
And is this common practice, John?
Yeah.
To you, okay, that was your point. I just want to clarify that this is common practice to do that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a motion on the table by Councilman Couch. He has moved to table this. Is there a second regarding that? I don't know. Councilman Couch, did you still want to do that, or did you want to pull it, knowing what Mr.
No,
Coleman?
I would still like to table it.
Okay. So is there a second? So hearing none, I guess if there is no further discussion, I'm looking for a motion. This would be ordinance 1959-20.
Can we pull that motion up on the screen, please?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman Allen.
Councilman Allen, I moved to make that motion.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
I'm sorry, and this is?
Councilmember DeYoung.
DeYoung, thank you. Okay. It's a disadvantage. I apologize. Okay, so we have a motion by Councilman Allen, and it's seconded by Councilman DeYoung. And this is a proposed ordinance number 1959-20. It would be adopting the amendments to the Siege of Woolley Municipal Code 1316-035 and Siege of Woolley Municipal Code 1560-070A to specify sewer connection charges and park impact fees for ADUs. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
And Councilman Couch, correct? The opposed?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. All right. Motion does carry. Okay. All right, thank you, John. We will move on. We will move on to the 2020 TIB fee. Transportation impact fee update. Mr. Freiberger. Hello?
Sorry about that. I muted instead of turning it on. I appreciate it. Back. Thank you, Mayor.
yeah. No problem.
This is the second reading tonight to this. We had a presentation at the last council meeting, and I'd be glad to answer any questions. This does include recommendations of the memorandum from Transportation Solutions, Inc. To update the present transportation impact fees. They're relatively modest modifications. This has become increasingly important to us, especially with the loss of our transportation benefit district funding mechanism. As you will see in the discussion on the grant approval tonight, our means of funding transportation projects are getting limited, and we're having to scrape up together our shekels from many sources. So it's important that these TIF fees be kept updated on a regular basis. So anyway, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer those.
Okay. So are there any questions or for Mr. Freiberger, or any comments, discussion? Okay, hearing none, what would council, what is your pleasure? Would you like to move on this tonight, or are you wanting to do a third read?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman DeYoung.
Yes, thank you. Is there urgency, or what is the benefit of holding to a third reading?
Well, I don't see. Well, Mark, do you want to comment on that? I don't see the reason to hold it to a third reading. This is, as he said, minimal changes. But Mr. Freiberger?
Yes, of course, the council can do as you choose on that. But unless you have any questions, I haven't heard anything one way or another in opposition to this. It would be best to get it in place as expeditiously as possible, is my opinion.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, is there a motion number you'd like to give us so we can make one? Yes. I'd like to make the motion.
Yes, so this would be ordinance 1960-20.
All right, Madam Mayor, I move ordinance 1960-20, an ordinance for City of Cedar Valley, Washington, to do the TIF.
Okay. I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
All right. I have Allen, Councilman Allen. Yes. Okay, so I have a motion by Councilman DeYoung, seconded by Councilman Allen, to approve Ordinance 1960-20, which is amending the Cedar Valley Municipal Code, Sections 1560-050 and 1560-060, to increase the amount of the transportation impact fees. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. And let's see, third, lifting a moratorium on accessory dwelling unit ADU applications. Mr. Coleman. Mr. Coleman?
Sorry.
So,
sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. I'm having trouble too. I'm having trouble as well, so. But I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. So now that the council has passed ordinances to adopt fees for accessory dwelling units under Ordinance 1959-20, and the TIF had updates to the traffic impact fees that for ADUs also, and since that was passed under 1960-20, now the ADU moratorium can be lifted because we have in place the fees, the code, and the comprehensive plan amendments that are needed in order to start accepting ADU applications. So there's a there's an order, a proposed ADU moratorium extinguishing language in a proposed ordinance on your docket today. And if passed, we can end the ordinance, which we recommend now that all of the necessary things are in place.
Okay, so are there any questions regarding this document or any questions for Mr. Coleman?
Madam Mayor.
Councilman DeYoung.
Yes, thank you. I should identify myself and will endeavor to do so in the future. My apologies. I move Ordinance 1961-20, an ordinance of the City of Cedar Valley, Washington, ending a moratorium on the processing or accepting of applications, permits, or licensing and establishing for any accessory dwelling units.
Madam Mayor, Councilman McGoffin, I second.
Thank you. Okay, so I have a motion by Councilman DeYoung and seconded by Councilman McGoffin. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
And this is who's?
Councilman Couch.
Couch, thank you, Councilman Couch. All right. So motion carries. All right, thank you all. And we are now moving into new business, looking at the ordinance to approve fiber optic franchise agreement with Skagit.net. And that will be Director Chambers, Bill.
All right, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Great. So this is just the franchise agreement that we've been hashing out over the last year plus. Mark and the mayor and I and legal counsel have been going through it and bouncing it back and forth with the port to get the language just right for so that we can use it as a template for other franchise agreements for communications as well. And it's been vetted by legal, and the mayor and Mark Freiberger and I are both comfortable with it. And we think that we'd like to see it get passed if possible.
Okay, are there any questions for Mr. Chambers?
Just a, okay. Madam Mayor?
Yes, yeah, Councilman DeYoung.
Thank you so much. This is Councilmember DeYoung. I just wanted to just make a note that solid fiber optics coming into Cedarville is just huge. And this is something that we've heard for many years, and it will be just such a great asset for economic development in Cedar Willy. Just wanted to thank again the city, the port, and also PUD. I know it was something that our former city manager, city attorney, and former PUD commissioner Aaron Berg worked really hard on, and to provide that spine to get to that private to public partnership to help with the development. And also, I just want to make sure this is Skagit.net, not Skynet. Is that correct?
It is Skagit. Skagit.net.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
And actually, Mr. Berg could not be a part of it because he was part of PUD. So he wasn't right in on this. So
I know it was something that he was talking about when he was...
The great piece about all of this, what I really like about the Thank fiber you. Optics has to do with the fact that we'll have redundancy. We'll move out of dark fiber. It would be nice to move out of dark fiber and to have some redundancy. So this will also open up the door for fiber to move east of us. So the smaller towns, Lyman, Hamilton, and Concrete would be able to also have fiber optics within their communities. So I want to know what council would like to do with this. This is, of course, the first read. You do not have to act on it. So if I'll give you the chance to make a motion. If there is no motion, we will move on.
Actually, I don't think they can act on this one today, Mayor. I think that this one requires a second read and a public hearing.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Then we will move on. Thank you, Nikki. All right, last order of business is the TIB grant approval and match requirements. Mr. Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. I think I'm online this time. So as we've been mentioning to council over the past couple of months, we had the opportunity to submit applications to the Transportation Improvement Board for transportation funding. We've prepared two grant applications. One is under the Urban Arterial Program, and we're proposing the SR 9 North Township, McGarrigle and John Liner Road Intersection Improvements Project for that. That particular project is one of the Jones-John Liner Trail Corridor projects. After the undercrossing, it is one of the more critical ones. The transportation traffic studies that we've done in association with the scoping study, which we prepared for the corridor, identified this intersection as one that would require improvement before we open the corridor. We have this opportunity with TIB to apply for individual funding for that intersection. And so that's what we have prepared. We did try, as you know, for a grant from the county under the economic development program for the match for most of this. That was not approved this year. This was a year of mostly port projects were awarded because they were concentrating on things that would produce jobs quickly. And this particular project called for design in 2021 and construction in 2022. So the county elected not to award that. I had a good conversation with Patsy Martin regarding this, just to make sure that they were no longer interested in traditional infrastructure projects. And she assured me that was not the case. So just this year, it was more focused on immediate jobs. So we'll try again next year for that. But in the meantime, in order to apply for the TIB grant, we needed to have match. And we're proposing to fund this with a bucket of dollars from three different sources, which is outlined in the on the last page of this memorandum. And I mentioned also in the memorandum the struggles that I talked about a little earlier with the TIF discussion on putting together matching funds these days. Losing the transportation benefit district funds has taken away one of the legs we generally have relied on for the last few years, at least since 2017. So we'll need to look at replacing that, as we've been discussing at some point, but certainly in the midst of the economic issues caused by COVID, that's not the time now to do it. So what we've put together, working with Doug and Jill, is using some of the account 104 cash carryover dollars, using some REIT dollars, and using GMA impact fee dollars to come up with the $387,000 match that will be needed, or $373,000 match that would be needed for this project. And that's a 15% match, as is our minimum with our current city size. The other project that we are applying for is another in our list of many overlay projects that we have on the books. This one is Wicker Road. It's a relatively small project, $200,000. The 15% match that would be required on that is $30,300. So we're proposing we're requesting council authorize those match amounts from our funds and also authorize us to submit those two grant applications. And I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have on that.
Okay, so are there any questions for Mr. Freiberger regarding the grants and where the funding is coming from? Okay, hearing none, what is council's pleasure? Would you like to move forward with a motion to authorize staff to apply the grants identified in this memo and to commit the local match dollars identified in this memo, or are you wanting more time to think about it?
I should say, Mayor, that the grants are due on Friday, so.
Well, there we are. So it's either yes or no, Council. Yeah.
Madam Mayor, I make a motion to authorize staff to apply for the grants identified in the memo and to commit the local match dollars.
Second, this is Councilmember Cornegay.
So, thank you. Motion by Councilman McGoffin, seconded by Councilwoman Cornegay. Any more discussion? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, great. Looks like we're in, Mark.
Thank you very much, Council.
All right, and with that, we come to the end of our agenda. If there's anything for the good of the order, hearing none, then we are adjourned. Thank you, Council.
Thank you.